Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Welcome back to Advices Radio. Scott McNally, and I am freaking pumped today because I got my favorite dude is back on the mic, Dave Kalik, and with him, IFBB Pro, Adam Young. Adam, thanks for being here, man. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on the show, man. Looking forward to it.
Dude, this is great. And Dave, thank you for being back as always, man.
Of course.
So we've been talking, Adam, we've been talking about you a lot lately. I don't know if your ears have been ringing, but, you know, I had Dylan Armbrust on Blood, Sweat, and Gear last week.
I just listened to it yesterday.
Did you? Cool.
I did.
What did you think?
It was great. You guys did a good job.
Man, thank you. And he was a great guest, too. We've gotten a lot of good feedback about that show. And yeah, as you heard, man, he's had a lot of great stuff to say about you. He says you're one of the most intense trainers out there at Armbrust Pro Gym. How do you feel about that?
I like to get after it, yeah. As far as training my clients or training myself?
Well, I'm going to guess you meant training yourself, but I'm sure you're probably pretty wicked with clients, too.
I would say so, yeah. I like to get after it. That's kind of my style, so. But yeah, we have a great atmosphere here at Armbrust, and it's just I like to contribute with my intensity, and I like to bring that to the table so it shows everyone how the fuck to train.
Yeah. All right, well, listen. So before we got started recording here, Dave was asking you, you know, it's leg day, right? And you're like, yeah, it's legs. So tell me, what does a leg day look like for Adam Young?
So we usually do legs here at 11 at Armbrust. Okay. Energies are usually pretty good in here. You know, right now Dave's got me, I'm starting one of his programs. He's got me doing usually about four sets of 10, you know, we're pyramiding up on most sets. But yeah, I usually start with, you know, some quad extensions, always getting in, you know, I try to hit like two forms of squats. You know, I really want to bring up my hamstrings. So I'm going to hit a lot of, you know, stiff legs, hamstring curls. But like I said, we know we're keeping everything around four sets of 10 right now. So, but yeah, everything's just intense and we just get after it here.
How long does a leg workout last for you on average?
Oh, I'd say hour to an hour and a half. But I mean, that hour and hour and a half is, you know, it's intense. You know, I'm not sitting there talking to my fucking friends and, you know, we're getting after it the whole time. So,
I hear Brett Wilkins coming out there to start training with you. Who's a more intense leg trainer? You or Brett?
I don't know. We're going to have to see. He likes to run his mouth a little bit. So I think it's gonna be good. Yeah. He's talking a little shit. So I think I'm looking forward to this. I'm not going to lie. Me and Brett are going to have a great off season together.
Hell yeah.
No, it's going to be good. Cause we're going to be able to push each other. You know, Brett's a strong guy, you know, so it's always nice to have someone that can, you know, provide that energy on the other side as well and push me, you know, like I feel like I'm, you know, always doing the pushing.
Yeah.
You know, with Brett, it'll be nice because, you know, he's a strong guy. So, you know,
hey, that being said, if we can train early enough the day after the guest posing, I can try to murder you guys both on Sunday.
Ooh.
Well, I think, you know, I'm usually up about 4 a.m., so I don't think that'll be a problem for me.
I think
Brett will be down for that for sure.
That'll be awesome, man.
We'll get some good video footage of it so you guys can all see it.
Excellent. I'll post that stuff up, guys, over at the Advices Facebook page and probably on mine too. So guys, look out for that stuff. So Dave, as Adam's coach, what are you guys looking for in his leg training right now? What's the goal here? These four sets of 10.
Well, he has, if you look at his legs are really awesome. I mean, he's got great insertion points and everything like that. I think the focus is, you know, it's interesting, like, as an indirect way of hitting his legs, where Adam's going to be doing a lot of deadlifts in this offseason, something he hasn't incorporated. And so there'll be a lot of sumo deads, for example, on his back training. So that's going to indirectly have an effect, like, on his, you know, the vastus head, you know, the IT, you know, you get a rounder look from the legs.
Okay.
And that's another thing, too, with my back training is Dylan actually is training me in the gym, so that's something different because we train together sometimes, but he's actually going to be training me, so I think that'll definitely I'm looking forward to seeing the improvements from that.
Yeah, and just knowing that Dylan's kicking his ass in the gym is awesome.
It helps you sleep better at night.
It helps me sleep better at night because Dylan is really, he's a great trainer. You got to keep in mind, dude, when you see, like, as Adam was saying, like, well, the leg training equipment at Armbrust is insane. My favorite thing over there is putting these guys, I put him and Dorian on that Icarian hack squat.
Okay.
Best hack squat there is.
Best hack squat there is. Fucking shit's brutal. And so, I mean, basically with, like, you know, with Adam's leg training, I mean, basically the idea is, you know, getting a full range of motion on the bottom of the movements, you know, coming all the way down to where the IT band and hip flexor relaxes and then pushing out, you know, short of locking out, obviously, with a controlled negative. So there's, it's very,
it's just constant tension.
Yeah, it's constant tension. It's explosive on the way up, you know, controlled negatives. You know, like, you can see a lot of videos, you know, guys posting on Instagram and they're like, they're putting like, you know, a ton of weight on there.
Yeah.
And like hack squats, whatever. And like, all you see the coming up and then like resting on the knees for like 1,000, 2,000, right, coming back down again. It's just, to me, it's like, it's a lot fucking harder to have the constant tension going because you're, there's no rest.
Yeah.
You know,
you're going to get a lot more blood in the muscle doing that too.
The pump is twice as much. I mean, there's just, it's win-win. I mean, you're keeping tension on the legs. You're not resting. You're going to save the integrity of your knees.
People just don't like it because it fucking hurts.
Right.
People like it. It is hard. It's harder. And that's where you see people get nauseous from that stuff. Is really, right, from what I see, when people like have to go to the bathroom and throw up. I mean, is when it's just that constant tension where you just,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like you're half your body. It's just always engaged.
Your central nervous system gets pissed.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you guys agree with me that leg training is like, it's a completely different thing than training any other body part?
Oh, there's no doubt. Sure. And let's face it, guys. You guys have both had people, oh, dude, I can't make it. I got a doctor's appointment. There's always, for some reason, that people, you know, there's that. Or like, I can't make it, man. My stomach's bothering me. Like, come on, dude. Remove the fucking tampon slowly.
Yeah.
You know?
But they're there on arm day.
Yeah.
Yes. Curling in the squat rack, yeah, right?
Stomach feels awesome today.
Yeah. Right, right.
So, no, you're absolutely right, Scott. People on leg training is a whole different, and that's what I hate using these fucking expressions, separating the men from the boys, but,
yeah.
I mean, you know, there's nothing more impressive than, you know, like, you see what's generally the most underdeveloped body part on stage?
Legs or back?
Yeah, yeah, those two.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. Exactly. So speaking of stage, I got a chance to see you, Adam, just at your most recent show, 212 at Chicago. Man, you looked fantastic. Congratulations to you on cracking the top five. And thanks, congratulations to you too, Dave. It. You guys did awesome, man. Conditioning was amazing. Let me ask you this now. So conditioning was awesome. I felt like your level of mass for 212, you look thick, you look big. You don't look like a little guy by any means, man. What's the goal now? Like, what do you guys think you need to do this next off season to move up a placing?
Well, I mean, basically like this. I mean, his density level and thickness is obviously ridiculous. We're just basically like, I mean, certain things like, just want to get a little like rounder look just in general, you know, I mean, he's a, you know, at only 30 years old, it's amazing. This is an old man's sport. But I mean, I just think over the next year, this off season, I think we're going to see just a rounder look throughout the arms. You'll see, like, next year, you'll see, you know, just a sweepier look to the quads. I can't even fucking imagine what his back is going to look like now that deadlifts are incorporated. You know what I mean? And, you know, with Dylan training him directly, I think he's going to look fucking wacky for the spring shows. More and more density, bigger and bigger legs, bigger and bigger bigger back. You know, it's funny because Adam reminds me a lot of actually Rich Gaspari.
Hmm.
He has a lot of similar attributes. And I just think, like, you know, it's definitely like, you know, making the 212 weight is not the easiest thing. We make sure that we try to make sure that he's as light as possible in the days leading up to it so we can time out foods. But I mean, you'll see him, I think he can look, you know, get bigger and bigger without looking like obnoxiously crowded, if you will, and blocky. You know what I mean? He's got his waistline, it's funny because, his waistline is more pulled in from when he got the pro card at National, at North Americans. And I just think he'll just get wackier. Just look for chunkier quads. Lower back will be ridiculous with these deads incorporated. And just good old-fashioned compound movements. And, you know, he'll just get thicker and denser and thicker and denser. And I've seen guys, you know, I've seen guys weigh, you know, there's like 200 pounds. I'm just giving a number. I mean, yeah. I've seen people like, okay, 200 pounds 1 year, like shredded or whatever. And then the next year, 200 pounds, but looking 10 pounds bigger.
Right. Yeah.
It's just, it really is an illusion. Bodybuilding is an illusion. So if he can, you know, with progressive overloads with these body parts, he doesn't have to weigh heavier on the scale. Of course, there's a limit on the scale. So I just think he'll just look just wackier and thicker and denser and rounder.
So Adam, David said it's some work to get down there to make weight for 212. I hate to use the word suffering because I've kind of reworked my vocabulary because, you know, at the end of the day, we're doing it to ourselves. So it's not really suffering. It is discomfort, right. But I'm going to use the word suffering. Do you feel like how was this coming into Chicago? Did you have to suffer to get down to 212?
I mean, that's kind of my thing. I'm pretty good at suffering, I would say. That's definitely something I got that down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to suffer at every show.
Yeah.
First off, I want to suffer as much as I can because I want to bring the nastiest conditioning possible, and that requires you to suffer, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, I always have to suffer pretty good to get down there. But I got down, I mean, I weighed in at 206, so, you know, I mean, I got like 6 pounds to go.
Nice.
And, you know, I used to, I mean, I was a light heavyweight for like 3 years. Should I have been? No. But I would suffer down to light heavy, you know. So I've always, like, this is just pretty much all I really know. I've only been bodybuilding for 6 years, you know, and every year, you know, I started off as a middleweight, and I was a pretty big middleweight to start, you know, so I'd have to suffer to get down to 176, and I went up to light heavies, and I have to suffer to get one down to 198, and it's the same thing for the 212s, but I don't mind it because it ensures that I'm going to have fantastic conditioning, you know. And I just feel like with my body type, I feel like 212 is, you know, it's a good class for me right now. You know, if the open class, you know, if that's in our future, then I'm definitely not opposed to it. But right now, I think we're gonna stick it to 212s for a while.
And keep in mind, like when Adam is in like the mid 220s, he has prominent glute striations. So basically, like, and there's a weigh-in weight of 206, but letting you know, like, he was like, fuck, probably like 213 the night before. Like, so in other words, once his metabolism was just, yeah, literally. So what happens is he drops. I mean. Basically, I mean, it could be 206 in the morning. It could be like 210. Like, so the weight fluctuates, but basically, like,
I'll usually lose like 6-7 pounds overnight.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So basically, what we wanted, like, because we had to, like, you know, keep in mind these weigh ins against the actual prejudging time is different at every show.
This one was tough, wasn't it? Because Joe had to, Joe Russo had to make this weight, too. This was on Thursday in order to compete Friday morning, Thursday evening, right?
Yeah, so, right. So you got a picture, and there's a fucking weigh-in at 7:30 at night, and prejudging's at 9 o'clock. So it's
and
like,
I haven't fucking eaten or drinking anything all day to make weigh-ins.
Right.
Yeah, because we want to guarantee, because the last thing you want to do is, oh, shit, you're a pound, like, then a cortisol levels come up, imagine trying to make the weight, so...
Right.
You know, we just basically, like, his metabolism is just on fire. So, I mean, we, you know, 206. And granted, though, this scale in Chicago.
Yeah, the scale was like, I got on it and it said 206, and then it started going down.
Huh.
Yeah, honestly.
And
like,
it got all the way down to 200 pounds. I was like,
oh, yeah, and like, and like, wow. And Craig Richardson himself, he weighed in at like 206. So it's like, and these guys, I mean, I was looking at both, like, they were, honestly, that scale was three pounds.
I think so. I'll tell you what, Joe Russo had been weighing about 212 on our way over. We came over on Thursday in the hotel room upstairs right before we went down to weigh-ins. We had two scales. He was weighing in at 213, and then that scale said 210. So.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too, is you don't know. Maybe that scale's not light.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So you can't go in, you know, banking that your scale's going to be light, because I can tell you right now at the New York Pro, that scale was not light.
Huh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing, you know. So, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, I looked better in Dallas. Well, I also had a lot more time to fill out. You know, we didn't get out of that athletes meeting until, what, 7:30 or 8 o'clock?
Yeah, let's make this clear. Let's make this clear to everybody. So, guys, what we're talking about here is, you know, the weigh-in for the Chicago Pro was on Thursday night. I think it started at like 6 or 7 o'clock.
It started at 6.
At 6. Okay. So the earliest you could weigh in was 6 o'clock. And that means for you to make that weight, you had to be 212 at that time. And it wasn't until after that that you could start filling out. And then the show was 9 o'clock the next morning. So you basically had 15 hours to fill back out.
Yeah. And keep in mind,
that's the thing, too. You can't just go eat an ungodly amount of food because you're going to walk on stage with a freaking pregnant gut.
Yeah. How do you walk that line, guys?
Well, keep in mind, I mean, first of all, like we're talking about, okay, well, you know, there's eating, but there's eating and there's like cutting off water in conjunction with the eating. You know, like if you want to do math on the scale, like, you know, every gram of carb holding 2 pounds, you know, there's timing all this shit out because, you know, you want to have like, you know, we want to have a re-crisp situation.
Yeah.
There's got to be time where you have to just shut it off, you know, and you can't. So, you know, you're looking at things, okay, well, by the time we left there, I mean, like, you know, the meeting started at 6. Meeting started, like, at 6:15, let's be honest.
Right.
And then by the time the feet are on, you know, all the announcements and welcome back, athletes, to the 2018, you know, all that stuff. And I like to thank our promoter. Like, there's all that shit. And then
sitting there starving our ass off.
You know, fucking starving. And then, like,
we're like, come on, guys. Weighing in.
Then there's like, so you got to visualize. It's not just, you can't snap your fingers. And there's, like, so these guys are on the scale, like, at about 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
And then there's like getting the clothes back on. Then there's getting out of the venue. Then there's waiting for the fucking Uber in the boiling fucking sun, which is still hot up there. And then it's getting to where you want to eat. And then it's just like, so by the time like we really, really started eating, honestly, it was like eating was like 8 o'clock. Then we have like really like 4 hours of trying to cram in, you know, where it was like, for example, Dallas, you know, we have weigh-in time. The prejudging didn't start until noon the following day.
No, it didn't start until 4 o'clock.
At 4 o'clock, that's right, because the prejudging was at 3.
Right.
So he was.
So we had a lot longer. We had a lot longer to fill out.
Yeah. So we had like our, like, basically what we have, like, there's definitely a period of time like post weigh-in where we condense, you know, like some dirty stuff. You know what I mean? Just to take advantage of the window period.
Yeah.
And then, for example, Dallas compared to Chicago, then we still had like 6 hours, right, to incorporate, you know, clean, you know what I mean, like clean carbs in conjunction with our fats and proteins already set up. So we had like a series of meals after that. After the heavier stuff, and that gave like, I mean, an additional 3 or 4, you know what I mean? Like 3 or 4 pounds of like volume.
Right.
And then we cut it off. And then, so, you know, two different kind of looks. I mean,
it just varies. Like every show is going to be different. People just don't really understand. Exactly. I don't think, like, you know, you're not going to look the same every time because, you know, I only have 4 hours here to fill out. Whereas in Dallas, I had 16, you know, that makes a big difference, you know? You know, and as far as the Dallas and Chicago, I mean, Dallas, I loved my look, not going to lie. You know, I was nice and full, but, you know, Chicago, I also liked my look, too. I was very dry. You know, I wasn't quite as full as I was in Dallas, but I was very dry. So,
yeah, there's definitely, like, it's kind of like exactly, there's two different, like, Dallas was more volume, but honestly, but, like, there's a crispier, like, more of, like, a separated relief look in Chicago, so just, you know, two different looks, but two really cool looks.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I was happy with it for sure.
I'm looking at the pictures right now from Dallas Europa. What am I seeing different here, Adam, compared to what did you like about this look compared to Chicago?
I just felt like I was a little bit fuller in Dallas. You know, I think I popped a little bit. I think I might have popped a little bit. I really liked my look, Chicago Night Show.
Yeah.
Like I said, but the prejudging, you know, me and Dave talk, and, you know, it's usually like a three-way decision with me, Dave, and Dylan. We all sit down and we kind of figure out what we're going to do. And, you know, me and Dave just figure, you know, we just discussed, and we're not going to risk having a distended stomach on stage. Like, I would rather take a little bit of flatness over having a gut on stage. You know, that's just, you know, if my stomach is distended, it changes my look. When I'm nice and crisp in my midsection, it's a good look, you know. So yeah, we base
his best look is when his stomach is really, really empty.
Right.
Okay.
So I mean, that's kind of our thing. We don't load going into shit. Like, we don't load the morning of.
Okay.
Like, we go empty stomach. That's just kind of, we've kind of discovered that's my thing. And that's just, it's been a great look for me.
And guys, for the audience members out there too, I want to point something out here. The differences we are talking about are so minor. You know, these are very small differences. It's not like a completely different physique by any means. Right. I can see what you're saying. Maybe a little bit more full in Dallas. I'm looking at this sick rear double bicep shot. But I really liked the crispness at Chicago, which is it's just like a couple percent in one direction, a couple percent in the other. So it's not much of a difference. Yes.
So. Exactly right.
Man, this is fun. I'm just having I'm excited, guys. This is a cool show. I'm pumped to have both of you on here.
Yes.
What? Tell me a little bit more now. When you're coming into a show like this, Dave, how soon do you guys want somebody your clients to be at the venue? And how big of a difference or how big of a deal is flying?
Well, honestly, like I've seen, like for example, last year Stan did the show
in
Chicago, and the prejudging is on Friday, Classic Physique and 212 Women's Physique. That's Friday. So we made the mistake of taking a Thursday flight. Now we would have on paper, we would have been like, okay. Right. But I mean, personally, I like being in the element. He wanted to fly out on Thursday, like whatever, but I'd like to be in the element like a day prior. Cause here's what happened. There was a 6-hour fucking delay at LAX from the flight.
Oh, geez.
So that'll raise your car on those levels.
Yeah, that'll raise your car's levels. So we got there, got a picture. Like, I mean, we got there like just in time for the meeting.
Okay.
I mean, literally, like we deplaned out of the bags and like dropped, I mean, and then made it to the meeting, you know? And then we flew in on Wednesday. We got in like super, 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 super late. But we are playing. We didn't get in until like 3 a.m.
Because
it was just,
that's rough.
Yeah, it was rough. And then, we like, you know, deplaned, you know, went to the hotel, you know, just try to recoup and everything like that. And then there was, you know, so just, I think it's good. I like being out there just a day or two earlier. It's just easier, better.
It's easier on the mind too, because if something does happen, at least you have like a little bit of time to rebound from it.
That makes total sense. Yeah,
because nothing ever goes smoothly when you're traveling for shows, let's be honest. There's always something that fucking happens.
Right.
Like New York, we get there, it's raining, my freaking bag, somehow they broke my bag, the zipper. Ugh. So all my clothes are everywhere.
Oh God.
And then we're trying to walk in the rain, my freaking all the clothes out of my bag fall out of my bag in the rain.
Oh jeez.
So that's how I started my day in New York.
Yeah.
So that was fun. So yeah, there's always just shit like that happens, and I always tell Dave, I mean, we got to plan for that shit. Like nothing's going to go smoothly. Like when we get Uber rides, I'm like, probably going to take 10 minutes. I mean, you know, it's just, you always got to plan for the worst, honestly.
And then speaking of Uber rides.
Jesus.
Okay, so we had some interesting Uber drivers. So you got to picture this. So when during the most emptiest, starving time, that's when you get the most annoying fucking Uber driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they want to just, it's like playing 20 questions. And I'm oh, like, God. Dude, like, please just drive me. Please just drive me.
But are they asking you about bodybuilding stuff?
How much? Yeah, or always. Just how much you bench, or just like the most important, like just the typical bullshit. Just
every time.
Yeah, yeah.
and I really try not to be like the irritable bodybuilder, because like no one likes that shit, let's be honest. Like,
sure.
But there's just times where I'm like, dude, like, come on.
Yeah, you want to be a good ambassador, I'm sure, always, right?
What's that?
You want to be a good ambassador, course, always,
of
right?
Of course.
But we'll be waiting for an Uber, like it'll be like Sean in a Toyota Celica will be like, okay, this dude's gonna be fucking annoying.
Already. Yeah, we always take bets on the annoyance level of this current Uber driver.
Oh man, so you weighed in at 206 at this one. Do you have an idea what you weighed when you actually stepped on stage?
Oh, what do you think, Dave? Maybe 212.
I would say exactly 212. You got to picture this. Like he, I've seen him put on. I mean, from one round of sushi. And one meal of
seven pounds.
Like, yeah, you don't understand. Like he is so sensitive. I mean, like it doesn't even make mathematical sense. I talked about it earlier. Like, you know, if you're a nitrogen balance, that's, you know, 1 gram of carb is supposed to hold 2 grams of water. But I mean, he goes up in weight. His weight fluctuates quite a bit. I mean, you know, the idea is that like with Adam, like we like him, you know, his conditioning is ridiculous, you know, 4 weeks out even.
Okay.
And this way, everything's very predictable.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, like, we don't have, like, a quote-unquote, God, I hate this fucking word or expression, the peak week. You know, basically what we do is, you know, we have days during the week when he's prepping where there is a high carb, you know, when there's a high carb day, when there's low, you know, and basically we're just trying to, as best we can, to be honest with you, we're trying to capture his best look when he's preparing, like, you know, like the week out or so, whatever. We're trying to like really capture that as best on stage. We don't, so, you know, basically, you know, with what we're doing with the foods and stuff like that, I mean, you know, his weight, like I said, it fluctuates, you know, a great deal. So with when he eats, I mean, he, you know, by the time he, so the point is, getting back to the question, I mean, he was probably like exactly 212. It's always funny because he always winds up being at exactly about 212 when his feet actually hit the stage.
Okay. You know?
But there can be, but keep in mind though, there's a fuller 212 look, and then there's a slightly drier, crispier 212 look,
right?
As exhibited in both these shows, because it's just time for the food to actually set in. So the body weight can go up on the scale, but as far as like just the muscle, like obtaining the glycogen and the all that, that's the time spectrum that we're talking about. For example, like Adam mentioned, you know, the 16 hours compared to you know, the 4 hours.
Okay.
So we basically, the weight will be the same because we basically have to cut off elements of food as we're talking about having the empty stomach going into it. But again, there's 212 look and then there's a 212 look.
Yeah. So.
And one thing we've discovered too is I, which is nice staying in the 212s, is I look better lighter. So like me, like I think my best look honestly is like 208.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, because, like, we used to, like, before I was in the 212s, like, I would eat into shows, you know?
Yeah.
But what we discovered is we pull back the food, and it just gives me a lot tighter and drier look, and I ultimately end up looking bigger because of it.
I can see that.
It is an illusion. It is an illusion.
We basically backload is what we kind of do. Well, you know, we'll go higher carbs, you know, a couple days before, and then, we'll pull the carbs back and then start loading with just fats. You know, and just kind of, you just gives me that hard, you know, dense look.
Is that a cat over there, Dave?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
Yeah, that was a cat. So I'm sitting in the backyard.
I was like, right? Is that sound effects and shit or what?
Right, no, you got to picture this. I'm sitting in the backyard, right? By the way, I didn't vape yet. We're sitting in the backyard, and there's like, so my wife is a cat person, okay? So she feeds. We've got some indoor cats. We also have like these outdoor cats that she like feeds and comes out, like, you know. These cats are in the backyard. They're cool. And there's a wild.
It sounds extremely hungry.
No, so these two cats are having like a. There's one cat yelling at another cat because they're having like a. One cat is trying to have her place where she likes to sit, and the other cat is invading her space.
Oh. Yeah.
So this, so what you heard was a cat politics going on.
It's a pussy fight.
It's a pussy fight. So I'm surrounded by pussy, but I'm not getting any. Pretty sad.
It's a shitty situation to be in, bro.
Yeah. But at the same time, you guys got a picture. So, Scott, I think I told you this before, but like in December, there were the wildfires that were here in California.
Oh, yeah.
So this wild peacock flew over from some reserve.
Oh, wow.
Has been living in our backyard since then. And this thing walks around. It's a male peacock. So it's in mating season right now. So don't be surprised if you hear like during our interview where he goes, ah.
Because we will be listening.
Yeah, you'll be hearing.
I don't think we can miss it from the last sound effect we just heard.
Right.
So like this peacock, he does like a lat spread, if you will. He spreads his feathers out. Like that's how they attract the mate. And this fucking thing is like 8 feet across. So I'm looking at him. He's here, and like he'll just sit next to these cats sometimes. So that's what you heard. You heard a cat argument.
It's like wild kingdom. But hey, back on track. So you know, 212 is about where you were on stage. 206 is where you weighed in. What are your guys' plans tentatively for the off season? How heavy will you get, Adam?
That's a good question.
During this and Dave, what do you anticipate?
I mean, last off season I got up to, I think my feet hit the scale at one time. It said 245, but that's probably at night full of water and food. And I just wanted to see that number.
Okay.
But I usually stay around, like I would say I was around 240 last year.
Okay. Do you get uncomfortable with that?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Tell us what that means. What does that mean to be uncomfortable when you're big?
It sucks. Like tying your shoes. I mean, anything, just getting off the couch. I mean, anything. It's just, And that's one thing I honestly kind of want to stay lighter this year because when I'm big, like it's hard to get under the squat rack. Like getting the bar back where it needs to be is difficult, you know? And I don't know if I really need to be 245 pounds. Like, you know, one thing I really won't, I'm very, very, very conscious of my waist. Like I want to make sure my waist is staying tight all year, you know? So, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't mind being about 235, 240 again. But, I mean, obviously, I'll have more muscle and more density.
Okay.
But as far as just the number, yeah, honestly, probably around 235, 240.
Yeah, like, I really want him to be, like, last year, there's always, like, that one-off season where you have to get, like, a little bit heavier. You know what I mean? But this year, like, we already accomplished that last year. So, he'll make great, like, he doesn't. The funny thing is, it's like sometimes like being light in the off season enables you to hold on to more after you diet down.
I can see that.
Because when you breach a certain weight and there's a certain body fat level where the inflammatory markers go up, it's just then you have to like push more, you know what I mean, to get it down. And then you can wind up, you know, losing volume and density in that process. So I like him a little bit lighter this year. I don't want to breach 235, to be honest with you. I'd like just keep it right around there. And
well, just kidding. I was waiting for that, Scott.
Okay.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, there's going to be some times where, like, I mean, there's going to be fluctuations. Like, if he does, like, you know, there's like a scheduled, I mean, he's got a couple refeeds throughout the week that are scheduled in the off season because it's the top season. And there's also, like, there's obviously a higher carb fat spectrum now. But I mean, there might be some times where his weight might, you know, he might touch the 238, 240, whatever, but I really just his walking around weight, his training weight. I just think a lean, mean fighting machine is better. And just there's like that.
So, what do you think about 230? You like me around 230?
I mean,
I took a picture today. I was at 230, and I mean, I'm still very, very lean. I mean, I've got glute striations all the way across my glutes still. So,
yeah, I mean, like, I think like 235 would be the sweet spot to walk around.
I agree. And
training weights this way. Like, I think when we started going above, I mean, again, like sometimes we'll see a 240 just from, let's say there's like extra eating on a particular day or like, you know, sleep, you know, I mean, just
right.
Sodium levels, whatever. But for the most part, the walking around weight, I like to see around 235 ish because after that weight, I think, you know, you'll see inflammatory markers go up and everything like that. And just like, there's that uncomfortable, like irritated look to the muscle and just, yeah, it's just, we don't want that.
Yeah. It starts becoming counterproductive, doesn't it?
It totally does.
Well, I mean, when you breach, you start losing insulin sensitivity, you start losing sensitivity to foods and you get uncomfortable. As Adam was saying, it's hard to like, you know, when you're that heavy, it's hard to literally like get under the bar and squatting just, and like breathing and just everything, you know?
And just like daily things, like literally like putting on your shoes. Like it's fucking hard.
Do you get any kind of like sleep apnea or anything like that?
No, I really don't. I don't get that. I mean, Dave has it. He rocks his mask, but no, I really don't. I mean, I don't have issues with that. So that's good.
See, here's the difference.
It's very rare, by the way.
This is the difference between, I feel like, a guy like Adam and a guy like myself. You know, I walk around at two, you know, if I'm 210, I'm comfortable. But I push up to 220. I get to 220 to 225, and I am just gassed. I have a hard time. And there's no way that I could push beyond that. But, I mean, you're able to get to 235, 240, even 245 and not deal with that. I feel that in itself right there, when we talk about genetics, there's a genetic difference between you and me. That you can do that and not you know, deal with breathing issues, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, it's definitely easier to breathe, obviously, when I'm a lot lighter. But sure. I don't wake up, like, gasping for air, you know? And so, yeah, you know, I definitely don't feel like I have any issues with that. I mean, so, not complaining about that, because that's definitely a whole new, that's a lot of issues in itself.
Oh, yeah. Do you you ever get out there to L.A. and train with Dave at Gold's?
We went out, me and D went out there, when was that? Probably, when was that, Dave?
That was, when was that? It was over the winter.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be like, for example, like I go out,
Yeah, he comes out to us a lot.
Okay. I come out pretty, like, for example, like these guys, him and Dorian are doing a guest posing in 3 weeks, Colorado, you know, at Dylan's show. So I'll be flying out there. I'll go out there like a couple days earlier, train him. I'll also going to be out there 2 weeks later to work with him. And you know, they'll probably come over. I'm sure Adam will bring him over here during the winter, and I'll be going there pretty frequently because I like getting out of town. Like it's, I have some other clients over there too, and I mean, I get honestly, you guys, like if you guys ever want to see a really, really, I mean, a cool gym, I mean, like, you know, this is the home of Phil Heath's gym, but Dylan has gotten some like incredible equipment over there. I mean, there's some really unique pieces of equipment over there.
That's what you're saying, and that's what Skip was saying too.
Yeah, it's really, like, honestly, like, this is, like, I mean, you know, here I train in Gold's Gym, Venice, whatever. So, I mean, honestly, like, this gym is, I mean, just the atmosphere, the energy. anybody going out to Colorado, you got to train at this gym. And
it's really, like, I mean, honestly, I'm not just saying this. Obviously, I'm biased, but it's just the truth. Like, there's not, I've never seen or been to another gym like it. And I listened to Skip's interview, and, I mean, he's right. Like, you know, it's just a combination of everything, you know, the people, the, you know, the equipment, everything, you know, it's just, you know, the energy is very, it's a weapon in itself, honestly. It's a huge.
Wow.
Yeah. Like you can honestly, it's one of those gyms where you could feel the energy when you walk in there. Yeah. And, I mean, it's just intense. And I swear to God, those 45 pound plates, they're heavier. Like they're, for some reason, they're harder to pick off the floor, Adam. Am I right?
I agree. Those are like,
maybe it's the elevation.
They get heavier and heavier as I get closer to my shows. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
speaking of elevation, so I thought, like, I went there, like, first time I went out there was, like, last winter, and,
Dave was, okay, like, terrified. He thought he was going to fucking have, like, he thought he was never going to be able to breathe again when he came out to Colorado. That was funny. Yeah, I'm like, Dave, you're going to be fine, bro. I promise.
And it's weird, like, and I trained, right? And I was like, this is not so bad. The only thing I noticed about the elevation was, just like a little headachy, whatever. But Dylan was telling me that someone was training there one time doing legs, 315, you know, stepped out of the box, whatever. And then, like, on the sixth rep, whatever, this dude fucking passed out.
Oh, dude, yeah. I was, like, in the leg room when that shit happened. dude was doing front squats with, like, I think he had like three plates on each side. Like no business doing that shit.
Oh,
and
man.
This guy, I was just training one of my clients. And I heard this loud boom and look over, and this guy dropped about 315 on his forehead. He's just laying on the ground. It wasn't good.
Oh, wow.
I haven't seen him since.
Yeah, you never. He's like carted off. He's like, he's 6 feet under right now. Again. He's 6 feet under.
No, he was actually all right, which is good.
Yeah. But there's a, I mean, evidently, like, Kai Green went out there one time, and, like, he said, no, I can't fucking train here. And one time, from what I heard, it was Melvin Anthony that went out there. This is like, I don't know, years ago, 8 years ago, whatever. He was training. And supposedly he had like an anxiety attack or something.
Huh.
Because of the altitude?
Because of the altitude, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're not used to it, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's going to be different, but you're not, it's not as bad as some people think.
I really, honestly, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it would be. Not even close.
Yeah, and I mean, to talk about training elevation, that's another advantage for us, too.
There you go. So I know, you know, we've been talking all hardcore bodybuilding here. In order to do this, in order to you know, live the lifestyle that you live, you've obviously got to find a way to support yourself, and you do that through personal training, correct?
Yeah, I train probably close to, you know, 8 to 10 people a day here at Armbrust.
So you're hustling.
I'm hustling all day, buddy. I don't stop.
I get to
the gym at 5 a.m. You know, I usually have like three or four clients in the morning, and then I'll train. And then, you know, sometimes I'll have like two or three after that, after I train. And then I'll usually have like a 4 hour break, and then I'll usually come back at like 3 o'clock till 8. So it's usually pretty long days.
Okay. So I think this is important.
I wouldn't train it for the world, though. So
I think this is important for the listeners to hear, because I think a lot of people think, like, hey, I'm going to become a pro bodybuilder and then I'll have it made and I'll just sit around and eat food.
It definitely doesn't work like that.
So you
I mean, you heard Jose posted something not too long ago talking about that. I mean, it's Jose Reyme. He's been doing this for years. I mean, just because you turn pro doesn't mean you're going to fucking be driving a new Ferrari and, you know, your life is just going to change dramatically. I mean, nothing really changed as far as that. You know, I mean, obviously gives you more opportunities and stuff. But as far as, like, you know, increasing my financial income right away after I turned pro, that definitely wasn't the case.
Sure. So how long have you been personal training for? Was this something that happened that you started before you became pro?
Yeah, I've been personal training for a long time. I've been personal training for probably 5 years. So for a while, I started off at a corporate gym, and then And then Dylan brought me over to arm rest, and it's been fantastic.
And basically what I see out of this is, you know, you have a passion, A, which is bodybuilding, and then you've found a way to support that. And this is just as important as everything else we're talking about, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can make a great living off of it. I mean, you just got to hustle, you know. It's like anything. What you put in is what you're going to get out of it.
Right on. So you're not just sitting back relying on, you know, some supplement company who's paying for everything. I
mean, that would be great.
Right.
Yeah, let me be 100% honest, but that is definitely not the case. No.
And it's not reality nowadays.
But hey, if any supplement companies out there want to make that happen, by all means.
Absolutely.
But it's definitely a constant grind. But like that's just how my mentality works. It just is. So I mean, I wouldn't want it any other way, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah. All right, so we're moving into the off season now. This was going to be your last show, correct?
Yep. Right on. We thought about pushing to Tampa, but it's just I've been dieting, and I just needed a break. You know, I don't personally. I could have gone all the way to Olympia. You know.
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's going to be nice to have a break and, you know, focus on improving in certain areas and, you know, be able to eat some food.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about food, you know, you're obviously increasing now. Do you have to do like a slow reverse, or do you guys just dive right back in?
We dive right in. I'm lucky. I got a really good metabolism, so my body can. I'm pretty damn lean right now. I mean, if I took a picture, I stay pretty lean all year. So I diet all year though. I don't really ever, you know, let myself go. So
yeah, keep in mind, this is, I mean, the way foods are structured, this is not like a, hey, go eat everything in sight. There's a caloric surplus setup of clean food. I mean, there's like, you know, we have, you know, there's cheat meals scattered throughout. But for the most part, it's really just, again, you know, a surplus of just a lot of the foods that we've been working with, just with higher counts, you know, I mean, right. Carbs obviously higher. But
the food stays the same, honestly, as far as like what the actual foods that we eat, we pretty much just eat the same stuff all year.
Interesting.
It's just quantity, you know, and obviously cardio is lower.
And, you know that obviously, you know, I'm very much into, incorporating a lot of fats in the diet.
Yes.
So we get a lot of our caloric density from fats. I mean, like, you know, I'm not a meet your macros kind of a person, but I mean, you know, a gram of carb is 4 calories, a gram of fat is 9.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, we can have a big surplus of calories where we don't have to go so fucking crazy with carbs and carbs and carbs and carbs, losing sensitivity, losing insulin sensitivity, having carbs become counterproductive, having all the fat storage. So to me, I mean, we have our foods are very partitioned. You know, we have basically every meal has, you know, a protein source, a carb source and a fat source. And we work with a variety of proteins. You know, we're not eating chicken and rice all day. You know, as you know, we've talked about this before. I'm into protein combinations.
Yeah.
But, you know, Adam has a lot of, he's got grass-fed beef in his diet every day. He's got tons of salmon. There's avocados. We have almond butter. We have olive oil. And again, you know, these are foods that we work with during prep. But, I mean, we have, you know, larger carb attachments to these meals. But again, we're not eating 1,000 grams of carbs a day.
Yeah.
But you know, you'll see things are pretty partitioned and balanced. There's just more of it. There's just more of the components that we use during prep.
Right on. Well, we're coming toward the end of the show here. Adam, you know, you're still a young guy in the sport. There's a lot of guys that, you know, will be looking up to you while they listen to this, and they're picking through this podcast and trying to figure out, you know, how they can achieve their goals. What would be some of the thoughts that you would share with these guys as far as, you know, guys that that want to put on the most amount of muscle they can? Maybe they want to turn pro, maybe they don't. But, you know, we're all here to do the best we can in the sport, get as big as we can, get as ripped as we can. What are your thoughts?
I'd say start off hiring somebody that's very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Don't do this shit just based off stuff your buddies tell you and the, you know, the gym rat at the gym. You know, get someone that knows what the hell they're doing. I definitely start there. And then the biggest thing is, I mean, patience is huge. You know, I mean, a lot of everyone, you know, they want to take this and they take that because they think it's going to, you know, change their physique, you know, and I, again, you know, it's just the truth. You know, everyone's so reliant on, or thinks they're reliant on drugs, which that's really not the case. You know, nutrition and training is far superior over any drug, you know, so I would definitely focus there, get your nutrition on point, get your training on point, you know, and training intensity. I mean, don't go into the gym half-assed. Go in there with a purpose every day, you know, knowing that you're there to be the best you can be that day and better yourself for tomorrow. And I mean, honestly, I mean, that sounds cliche, but it's true. You know, you got to go into the gym every day with a purpose and string consistent days together. I mean, I've been doing this for 6 years, but you know, I've been pretty damn consistent for 6 years, you know? So that's the thing, you know, it's consistency is probably the biggest key to any of this.
Hmm. What did you weigh before you started?
Oh, I was fresh out of high school. I went to the University of Alabama, so I was living it up there, and I came back. I wanted to get in good shape. My first show, I was middleweight 176. I don't remember exactly where I started as far as, like, when I was just, like, I mean, I always had, you know, I was always in good shape. Like, I was always, like, the jack dude, you know, but not obviously compared to now. But, you know, I had a good foundation going in, you know. But, I mean, I was 175 at my first show, so...
Yeah, so that's a huge amount of progress.
Yeah, so it has, but I love it. You know, that's the thing. It's not like it's a chore to me every day to get up and go to the gym. This is what I love, and this is my passion, and so it gets me out of bed every day.
Right on. How often do you check in with Dave?
Shit. In the prep season, we probably talk like 2 or 3 times a day. That's the thing about Dave, you know, honestly, you know, and... You know, obviously I'm biased because he's my boy, but you know, I just don't feel like there's coaches out there that give the attention and the, you know, the amount of detail that he does to his clients. I mean, sometimes he'll tell you he drives me crazy because he's so attentive.
Yeah. Yeah. Give me an example on that one if you can.
Oh, shit. I mean, I'll be freaking no carbs, no fats for like 3 days, hating my fucking life. And Dave's calling me 3 times a day to check on check in. I mean, again, that's a fantastic coach, but obviously when you're card depleted, I sometimes just literally don't even want to talk.
Yeah. And Dave's not a text guy, is he?
Dave's not a text guy, and I'm a text guy. That's where I'm like, hey, can we text this shit or what?
You know, it's funny too, is like sometimes like when I send out a food pattern and I know it's gonna be painful, I'm like, oh shit. And I'll just send like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Hey, he just gets an okay every day. Yeah, I mean, what coach sends their client a new diet every single day? I mean, I wake up every single morning when I'm on prep. I wake up and he's got my food patterns laid out. So I just wake up, make my food, and go to work.
Nice.
So we rotate foods a lot for Adam. So we, again, to like get his system moving. You know his.
Yeah, it's nice to have. You know, it's just nice to know that Dave's just, I mean, he cares, you know.
Absolutely. You can hear it in him, you know, just his passion. Every time I've talked to you, Dave, you know, and people comment on that too. People love hearing Dave on the show, Adam, you know, because you can tell.
Shit.
Yeah, you can hear it in him.
Totally. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, I don't need motivation, but I mean, his energy, it motivates you, you know, I mean, because he's right there with you. You know what I mean? This is like I said, this isn't me. This is a team effort, and that includes Dylan, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
Kicking his ass in the gym is a great ass.
Yeah, I mean, Dylan's like my brother, and, you know, he's my mentor, you know? So we have that relationship, and then me and Dave, you know, we're boys too, but we have more of a coach-bodybuilder relationship, whereas, you know, Dylan's more of a, he's like a second dad to me in a way, you know?
That's cool.
So it's a great component, great teamwork.
So you got legs here after we're done with the show, right? You're basically gonna
hit. Yeah, I'm about to go smash them as soon as we get done.
What now? Just for everybody out there and for myself, because I'm curious too. How did you set your nutrition up before this meal? When did you eat last?
So I woke up. I always try to get 2 meals in before my leg days.
Okay.
So I woke up. I had a cup of oatmeal. We do 3 whole eggs. A scoop and a half of whey protein, and then we do a 1/3 cup of berries and a 1/2 of banana, and then a tablespoon of MCT oil. So there's a lot of calories in that first meal.
Yeah.
And then second meal, we did a cup of jasmine rice, 5 ounces of salmon, 5 ounces of turkey, 3.5 ounces of avocado. I actually did 1 tablespoon of olive oil today because I didn't go to the grocery store. And then,
oh boy, I didn't hear that.
I know. We'll put avocado in the next one. We'll be good. And then, after legs, I always go to this restaurant that has all you can eat sushi, and we go hard.
Hell yeah. That sounds like a great day, man.
Yeah, it's great. Oh, Sundays are great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Sundays is like the big leg day at Armbrust, and then we always go to that restaurant, get some good sushi. So it's always good on Sundays.
Man, this is cool. Anything else we should talk about here before I let you guys go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So we went out and we had this deep dish pizza.
Ooh.
Chicago, right?
Yeah.
The first place we went to, it's kind of disappointing because there's a particular bread that I don't know what I'm referring to, but that's an inside joke. But then we had deep dish pizza somewhere else that was awesome. So I don't know. I'm just more of a thin crust New York pizza guy, but
yeah,
that's about it.
We went to Giordano's that right after the show, and we're fucking so disappointed. I was pissed.
You don't like the thick crust pizzas,
I've been dieting for fucking 24 weeks, and this shit tastes like shit.
No kidding. You don't like the thick crust pizzas?
It should be the most amazing thing I've ever put in my mouth, and it's not. So we were a little salty about Giordano's, but we redeemed ourselves the next day with some good pizza the next day, so we were good.
It was good. Then we walked around the went to the the Chicago, walked around by the waterway and stuff. Pretty nice. Cool.
That's cool.
We got a deep dish pizza from another place. It wasn't Giordano's. It was a little mom and pop place, but it was a deep dish pizza, the Chicago style. First time I ever had one of those. I could only get like 3 slices in. It was good.
Yeah, that's how it was. It was just so rich and filling.
Yeah, yeah. I would have liked a little thinner if I wanted to eat more, but I mean, I hadn't been dieting, so it wasn't my call.
True.
All right. Well, let's let Adam go because he's got to get himself ready for this this brutal leg day out there. Guys, this has been really fun, man. I really appreciate both of you.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
If people want to find you, Adam, where can they reach out? What's your social media and stuff?
It's Adam Young Bodybuilding on Instagram.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, cool. Do you do Facebook or not that much?
I do. Yeah, it's just Adam Young.
All right,
cool. I do a lot of stuff on, I'll do both, but mostly my stuff's on Instagram, but I'll do both.
Dave, we know where to find you, but why don't you tell everybody again?
You guys can reach me, message me at Dave Kalick on Instagram and the same on Facebook. You can also shoot me an email at DaveKalick@yahoo.com.
All right, guys, for another episode of Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with the one and only Dave Kalick and IFBB Pro Adam Young. We will see you soon.
See you guys.
Thanks, Scott.
What the hell's going on around here? From stars taken from the stars, stay down. You can't flip in my heart. Oh, one, give me some fire. You can't bring me. You ain't never seen no one like me. Prepare, cause you've got my baby. My war moves inside of me. You can't bring me.
Voices Radio.